Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, December 3rd. Coming up today, we'll hear from a driver who's been fined for driving down a so-called school street in Medway, even though it was half term. We'll also have some very brief reaction from the bosses at Bromley FC after they drew a Premier League side in the next round of the FA Cup. But first, taking a look at our top story today, part of Canterbury City Centre has had to be cordoned off after a large fire broke out in an abandoned store. Firefighters have been working through the night to bring the blaze at the former Debenhams building under control after it broke out yesterday evening. At the time of recording today's podcast, Guildhall Street remains cordoned off between the High Street and Orange Street while firefighting activities continue. Reporter Max Chesson brings us more from the scene.
I'm in Canterbury City Centre, where more than 12 hours after the fire at Debenhams was first reported, it continues to burn. In the city, there seems to be quite a heavy emergency service presence. A cordon is still in place. The official cause of the fire isn't yet known because it's still burning. Officers are still in there trying to dampen the fire. So it seems it'll be a fair few hours before we're even able to get the road open, let alone find out what has happened.
Neil Griffiths from Kent Fire and Rescue has given us this update.
This is quite significant. At the height of the fire, we had approximately 50 firefighters, 8 fire engines, specialist equipment and machinery, and you can see how significant it is in the confined space that we've got to work with to be able to tackle the fire in the way we had. What was interesting that we got here, the first fire engine was here in 4 minutes, which enabled us to put an assertive attack on the fire and prevent fire spread from the surrounding buildings. You know, there were some flats that were occupied and we had to evacuate approximately 30 people from 9 flats. So that's been dealt with as it is now, but we're more worried about, once we've got the people out of the buildings, is about protecting the city of Canterbury from the fire spread. But as you can see from behind me, there's still smoke in the area. One of our priorities is to deal with this as quickly as we can to return Canterbury to normality. We will be making an assessment on the air every hour and we will try and reduce the number of fire engines that we've got in due course.
Snow Shang lives in one of the flats that was evacuated.
Me and my 9 years old boy live in a flat here on High Street, Canterbury, for education. We smell the smoking and there, almost 10 o'clock, I say something is wrong. I tried to tell my boy to get up. So immediately I heard alarm, everything in the hallway, I just get out. I see already smoking everywhere. It was scary. It was really scary because my boy, I can't believe it. I can't believe this is happened in High Street, Canterbury, most beautiful cathedral area. That's why we come in Canterbury for.
One person's been treated by paramedics for the effects of breathing in smoke. For all the latest updates on the fire, click on the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A 13-year-old boy who stabbed a teenage girl in Sittingbourne has avoided being locked up. The victim needed emergency surgery after it happened in Adelaide Drive in March. The boy, who we can't name for legal reasons, is on a nighttime curfew and is banned from certain schools and roads in the town for the next 5 years. Police are hunting a driver following a suspected hit and run near Canterbury. A moped rider was taken to hospital after it happened in Sturry, shortly after police tried to stop a vehicle in Broad Oak Road. Officers say the driver ran off. A teenager has been arrested during a crackdown on antisocial behaviour in Sittingbourne. Police put a dispersal order in place in the town's retail park over the weekend and 3 young people were made to leave the area. An 18-year-old from Chatham has been charged after £400 worth of goods were stolen from the M&S food hall. Greg Wallace has apologised after posting a video saying complaints about his behaviour came from a handful of middle-class women of a certain age.
I want to apologise for any offence that I caused with my post yesterday and any upset I may have caused to a lot of people. I wasn't in a good headspace when I posted it. I've been under a huge amount of stress, a lot of emotion. I felt very alone, under siege yesterday when I posted it. It's obvious to me I need to take some time out now while this investigation is underway. I hope you understand, and I do hope that you will accept this apology.
A number of people have now come forward accusing the MasterChef host from Bidenden of making inappropriate jokes and undressing in front of them. Downing Street says his response to the allegations was completely inappropriate and misogynistic.
Kent Online News.
A man's been fined for driving along a so-called school street in Chatham, even though it was half term. Glencoe Road is part of a scheme that restricts motorists at drop-off and pick-up during turn time in a bid to improve safety. Gary Peters was sent a penalty notice for using the road during the most recent school break. He's been speaking to Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
Tell us a little bit about what your issue is with the council. You were given a ticket last month. Talk us through what actually happened.
Yeah, so it was a school holiday time. So obviously I've driven down the road because the whole idea was, in my interpretation, is that we want to look after children for accidents and pollution and so on. So as there was no children, I used the roads I normally would. And to my surprise, I got a ticket. When I challenged it, they refused to revoke the ticket, stating that I should have known that there was actually a teacher's school day. Obviously, when I checked the website, there was nothing on there to say that was the case.
So teachers were being trained at the school, but they are adults, not children.
Correct. Yeah, so that's an amazement. They refused to squash the ticket.
How do you feel about that?
I was disgusted, to be fair. The council should really take into account that the information isn't there, and the whole idea was to protect children, and obviously no children there, so there was no need for them to issue the ticket.
And you have tried appealing it, and they said you should have known it. I mean, do most people around here, I guess you don't, do you have children at the school?
I used to.
Oh, you used to? Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that there's a school there. So, if you actually check out the sign and you didn't come from the area, then it would suggest that you can't use it at any time. But as I know the area, and I know the reason for it is for protection of children, and they weren't there, for me, you can use the road.
And do you think most people around here living in these roads will know when there's a teacher training day?
No, they're not going to know when the teacher training day. Of course not. Unless you happen to be one of the children's parents and that was sent directly to them. But when you check the website, it's not on there.
What would you say to Medway Council? What do they need to do? Because you're saying this is unfair. What do they need to do to make this better?
Well, for me personally, they need a refund of the money. I've paid it up front because I didn't want to get the fine to be doubled or go to the county court. Or make the signage better on the entrance to the roads. So explain it is for schools, or make sure that the schools have got the information on the website for people to see.
But usually, in a school holiday, you wouldn't be fined. I mean, how's anyone ever going to know it's a school? It's teacher training day. I mean, what does the council need to make that clearer?
Yeah, they made it clearer. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to do it, but certainly something needs to be done.
Generally, though, do you support the idea of a school street?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we want to protect the children. That's the most important thing. I've got no problem with that at all. But, if there's no children there, it's a different situation.
Medway Council say they're reviewing his appeal and will update their website to make the rules clearer. An Ashford taxi driver who had become the authorities' most complained about has failed an attempt to get his licence back. Allegations against him included rude and abusive language, refusal of fares and poor driving standards. His licence was revoked in January and he's just lost an appeal to have it reinstated. He's also been ordered to pay £4,000 in costs to the council. The Shadow Farming Minister has been in Kent to find out what family farms think of planned changes to inheritance tax. Labour announced in the budget that from 2026, farms will need to pay a 20% levy on assets worth over £1 million. Conservative Victoria Atkins has been to Hoskins Farm in Bidenden.
I'm meeting Ross and many other farmers from this area to understand from them the impacts of Labour's budget on their family farms and their businesses, and to use, I hope, some of their examples in this debate that we are calling on Wednesday to force the government to the dispatch box to explain why it is that they're trying to tax family farms out of existence, and also to force Labour MPs, including Labour MPs in Kent, to make the choice between whether they're going to back our British farmers or suck up to Rachel Reeves and Keir Starmer.
So obviously you've been hearing the impacts firsthand. I was actually at the protest the other week up in London, where we saw thousands of farmers outside of Westminster. What have you been hearing as the Shadow Farming Minister?
I have been hearing tales of real worry, distress, also anguish, because generations of families have been doing the right thing, living their lives, building their farms, training their children from the cradle in the ways of farming. And let's get this clear, you know, farming can be a very tough way of life, and people do it because they love it. And when you hear examples of farms that on paper are worth a very great deal of money, I mean, we all know how popular Kent is as an area to live in. You can imagine the price of land around here. And to hear that these asset-rich farms that may in fact be cash poor, so an annual profit of perhaps £20,000, they're then expected to face tax bills of millions of pounds, as I've been hearing in my meeting this morning with farmers. There is just no way that families are going to be able to deal with this. And what's so spiteful about this tax is that the Chancellor seems to have announced this tax without any real understanding of the impact that it's going to have on family farms throughout Kent and across the United Kingdom, and the damage that it will do to our countryside in the years to come.
I think my big question is, what is the future for Kent's farmers between inheritance tax and climate change? Will places like this be here in 100 years' time?
Well, I've been hearing from Ross today, you know, how the weather has affected their crops over the years. But also, you know, this is a really modern, exciting business with a great future ahead of it, which is why none of us can understand why Labour is trying to tax businesses such as this out of existence. And it's not just the inheritance tax, it's the national insurance hike, it's the many other taxes that they've imposed on farms through this budget. And so this is why on Wednesday we're forcing this debate to try to get Labour MPs to explain and to justify, and we hope actually to change their minds, because I didn't come into politics to oppose, I came to do good stuff. And this, to me, this policy of Labour's is really good, really a stark example of a very, very bad policy that is going to hurt people.
They'll debate on the issue in the Commons tomorrow. The government say they are committed to supporting farmers and rural communities, including helping families to pass their land on to the next generation. At the autumn budget, the Chancellor announced that agricultural property relief and business property relief will be reformed.
Kent Online News.
Two Kent schools have been issued with termination notices after damning Ofsted reports. Sandwich Technology and Chatham and Clarendon Grammar School in Ramsgate could be closed by the government after being pushed into special measures. They're both run by single academy trusts, but could reopen as part of a multi-academy trust, impacting nearly 3,000 children. They will have the opportunity to convince Ofsted they should be allowed to stay open. Plans to turn a former nightclub in Ashford into a block of flats have been scrapped over claims the housing market isn't particularly strong. Local bosses approved a scheme which would see the old HS Pledge and Son flour mill converted into 53 apartments 2 years ago. Developers now say they've had more interest from commercial tenants and it will instead be turned into flexible office spaces. A wildlife visitor centre in Sevenoaks is set to be temporarily closed for a £2.1 million refurb. Thousands of people head to the site on Bradbourne Road every year, but bosses say it's in urgent need of being modernised. When the work's done, it'll be energy efficient with an improved cafe and shop. Plans have been revealed to expand a school near Maidstone. Coxheath Primary is going to increase to a three-form entry. A new building will be added within the next 2 years following a rise in preschool-aged children in the area.
Kent Online News.
The Kent Online podcast has been hearing how the £10.5 million restoration of the Maison Dieu in Dover Town Centre is on track to open next spring. The project includes turning the old jail cells into a cafe, while the former courtroom and council chamber will be used for weddings and events. Reporter Sam Lennon has spoken to Martin Crowther, who's the Maison Dieu engagement officer.
When we reopen the building, there'll be a cafe, sort of bistro, and it's in part of the building where that used to be the visitor information centre. But also incorporates probably about half a dozen of the Victorian prison cells. So there'll be like little snugs where you can sit and have a quiet drink, maybe, you know, half a dozen people. A little bit like the Pound in Canterbury. So I think it's something that will really appeal to people. It's a little bit different and quite fun.
So people have their own private dining rooms. Is there a main dining room?
So there's a large space which will be the main cafe, which is what used to be the Visitor Information Centre, which is accessed from the side of the building on the ground floor.
If you talk to us, which room we're in?
So we're in the courtroom at the Maison Dieu, but it started life as a medieval chapel for the Pilgrim Hospital. And it was a chapel all the way through until the time of Henry VIII. And then, of course, as a Pilgrim Hospital, that all came to an end with the Reformation. And then much later, in Victorian times, the chapel was converted into Dover's courtroom.
Do you know what year in the 19th century?
So it was in the 1830s. Yeah.
And that was literally until 1987.
It was, that's right.
So what are the plans for this place now, this room now?
So this room, we're going to keep all the courtroom fixtures and fittings because it's part of the historic nature of the building. And we're probably going to have some events that sort of tie in with that. So you can imagine things like debates and even, you know, Gilbert and Sullivan's trial by jury. That would be a fabulous venue for that. But its main function is going to be a place where people who are using the building as an events venue can relax. So there's going to be a bar in here so they can enjoy some drinks and nibbles in an absolutely splendid room that very much sings of the history of the building.
The project is seen as a key part of the regeneration of the town centre. And BAE Systems is marking 25 years in business in Rochester. It's one of the biggest names in UK manufacturing and has become one of the country's biggest defence contractors, with Boeing, Airbus and NATO among its clients. It was born out of a £7.7 billion merger of Marconi Electronic Systems and British Aerospace in 1999, but BAE has a heritage that stretches back centuries. Chris Bartlett is a former engineer at the Rochester site and is now a volunteer historian. He's been telling the Kent Online podcast how they've opened a museum to show employees the progression of the products they've produced over the years.
What we've done is tried to collect a piece of every piece of equipment. A classic example, for many years there was a lightning gate guardian at Rochester, and we took the boxes out of that, and you've got, you know, so many individual little boxes. So we collect all of those, and you can see a progression of those to a single box that then does all these functions, that sort of thing. So we've got the company's products from probably the late 50s, 60s, tried to get an example of everything, various old compasses. So we're able to draw for the employees, we can say, look, here's a compass that was built by Elliott's in 1850 something. Look at what's happened now. It's a navigation instrument. We've got a rather interesting sort of GPS type piece of kit. It's a map that a cavalry officer would have used. Well, we make digital maps. So you can see that progression. Telescopes, head-up displays with the optics. So we're able to show the employees that there's this continuity of ideas, if you like. The company made things like odometers for cars at one stage, and we've got a couple from a Rolls-Royce. And they do everything that a modern one does, but all mechanically. One of the other items that is quite important is to anything that goes on the head, on a helmet, we're able to say, look at this one, would you like to wear this? And they say no. Right, well, this was the very first one, and again, my previous story, isn't it heavy, isn't it uncomfortable? And then you're able to say to them, right, well, this is how it progressed, and we got a production item that was wearable and usable. So the sort of work experience people and employees can get an idea that a new product doesn't happen quickly. Some of these things can take 15 years or more to go from the idea to going into production, and clearly they don't even all do that. So that's the sort of, so we've got a, it's not just a museum. The idea is that we can use it to help the employees understand that the management problems, even from a while back, are very similar. They can learn from the way the programs were run. You know, something that happened in the 1960s was just as hard to the people at the time. So that's what we try to do when people come round.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Bromley have been drawn against a Premier League side in the third round of the FA Cup. They'll travel to take on Newcastle United after reaching this stage of the competition for the first time in their history. The club posted a video on socials at the moment. CEO Mark Hammond and assistant manager Alan Dunn heard the draw.
Six. Yeah!
Games will be played on the second weekend of January. Staying with football and Kent, Alessia Russo is in the England squad for their final international of the year. They're taking on Switzerland at Sheffield United's Bramall Lane Stadium. It follows the Lionesses' 0-0 draw with the USA at the weekend. Kickoff tonight is at 7:45. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.